Welcome to In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio, with your hosts, Dr. John A. Oliver and Willie Anderson.
This is the good brother, Dr. Oliver.
And I'm Willie Anderson, Willie S. Anderson. And tell me, good brother, what's going on?
So for this month, our show is focusing on the interactions between Black Lives Matter and the contemporary Black church. So one of the co-founders of the organization, Opal Tomate, was a speaker at the Social Justice Speaker Series at Texas State University. It was sponsored by the LBJ Student Center, Student Affairs, Student Diversity and Inclusion at Texas State University. And I had an opportunity to speak with one of the vice presidents of the organization, of the university that sponsored the speaker with those organizations, Dr. Sherry Benn.
Tell me more.
So Dr. Benn, she works on campus. She works with a lot of student organizations, but she goes in to enlighten the conversation that we're having on this show between Black Lives Matter and the Black Church with her expertise as a pastor and educator, and her congregation is a what she described as radically inclusive.
Radically inclusive of whom?
And so the idea of being radically inclusive, I asked her, it's like, so what does that mean? And she went in to explain that they are purposeful about including all members of the community, specifically those from the LGBTQ community. And that's how we got into the conversation of Black Lives Matter also includes those individuals as part of the community, whereas the Black church is on record and stating theology and scripture for critiquing, ostracizing, and even eliminating those same individuals from the community. And so it was problematic for Black Lives Matter leaders to include those individuals, and that's part of what we were talking about in this interview.
You use the acronym or the abbreviations. There may be members of the audience who do not know what those mean.
So LGBTQ, so lesbian, G, gay, B, bisexual, T, transgender, and Q, queer, are the names that individuals have identified or used to self-identify with. And so the term LGBTQ community encompasses not all of the identity selection, self-identification, but the majorities of that community, and they've agreed on that's how they will be identified.
Thank you for that.
No problem. And so she shares, and it's really deep. It's really insightful. And she frames it all the way from the pulpit to the academy to the pews to the street and our young people of why this movement matters and why we should be having this conversation about inclusivity and actually putting both sides on record to say, hey, it's bigger than do you understand an individual. The issues that we're all facing, we need to find ways to work together because that's how we succeed.
Let's hear more.
So there's...
So I currently, my position is Assistant Vice President of Student Affairs and Director of the Office of Student Diversity and Inclusion. And today we are here gathered for our Social Justice Speaker Series. And our featured speaker for today is Opal Tomate. She's one of the founders, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement.
So there's a lot to unpack about this interview. One, the movement of Black Lives Matter, the intersection of the Black church, and the comparison of how well they're working or not working together. Another issue is the idea that Dr. Benn mentioned that she is the pastor of a radically inclusive congregation. And so I asked her what that meant, and she shared that it was especially inclusive and supportive and led an invitation to the LGBTQ community, which we laid out was lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer individuals. Something else that we talked about off air was the idea that female pastors. Then there's the intergenerational aspect of what's happening. Intersecting with university and university officials. There's a lot there to talk about. And so
heavy,
a lot of heavy things to talk about. And so I think it's important that we have segments like this, because what we are attempting to do with this show is to make bridges for communication, to extend opportunities for people to dialogue and to learn together, because our whole show is In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio. So how do we interact with each other? How do we share information? How do we have conversations and be in dialogue and talk about difficult topics or different positions that don't always agree or don't always align.
And I would say, for me, as a Christian, sharing my own spiritual beliefs and balancing that of a journalist, knowing that, you know, biases, you're supposed to be open for the truth. And what is the truth? And for me, I was like, my knowledge of and my belief is God's word is true. Mm-hmm. So I can understand why there are so many conflicting views on that particular subject. However, the journalist in me says, let's listen.
So while I was talking to our reformer that I am a citizen journalist, and that's some of the things that we work with our young people about in particular, the show's an intergenerational connection, you know, a lot of the work that we do. Youth and Adult Partnership Centered. It's about communities learning and exchanging information together. And I asked her that particular question, well, how do you explain to people who may turn off when they find out who you are, who you include, and they may have a problem with that within their own framework or of understanding of religion or faith? And so she talks about that in this next segment.
And indeed, people do have their own view of who God is and the way they're interpreting the word.
This next segment is really interesting. Let's listen to it.
So here at Texas State, I'm Assistant Vice President for Student Affairs, Director of the Office of Student Diversity and Inclusion. And in my other life within the community, I'm a pastor of a radically inclusive ministry, spiritual community.
So what makes it radically inclusive, or
sure,
how you frame that?
Yeah. So for us, radically inclusive encompasses several things. One of those has to do with the intersections of identity. So for us, radically inclusive means that there's no element of an individual's identity that should ever be checked at the church house door when they come to be a part of a spiritual family and community. So for us, radical inclusion means that it's very important for our narratives, our theology, and the voices that come from the sacred text represent those who have different identities, particularly those with queer identities, those who are those who experience marginalization, oppression, things like that.
And so part of the reason for this show is to understand youth and adult partnerships, the power of youth and adult partnerships, and look at them from the perspective of two movements at two different periods of time. So one of those movements is the Black Lives Matter movement with the Black church of today, contemporary Black church, and it's juxtaposed against the civil rights movement of the 60s with the Black Power movement of the time. The conversation, the comparison, the critiques that happen between those organizations as they work toward social equity and inclusion in society. So that's what this particular show is about. So what would you like to contribute or share or inform our audience about?
So I think the first thing I would like to say is movements are evolutionary, right? So they're dynamic and they're not static. One movement always informs the next movement. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that the importance of a movement is that it has to be relevant. It has to be addressing the contemporary issues of the people who are kind of the architects of that movement, but of their generation in particular. So I think that the civil rights movement was certainly a very significant and important movement for a generation. But it primarily focused on issues of inequality, racial inequality. The Black Lives Matter movement is kind of an evolutionary movement out of that. So it's not only focused on racial inequality, but it's focused on all aspects of Black lives and all identities within the Black community. So it also includes an element that's related to immigration of Black folks. It has an element that's inclusive of queer Black folks. There has been a departure to some extent of that movement away from centralizing the movement within the church or spiritual communities. Part of that, I believe, has to do with some of the research that's been done that's showing that the generation of individuals who fuel this movement are somewhat disconnected, or they're not what we would call a churched generation. They don't necessarily consider religion to be something they don't necessarily consider religion to be kind of a fundamental identifier for them with regard to their own identity development. So it's not, so they don't centralize kind of their activism within a spiritual framework.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that people have discussed about this contemporary time of movements that we're in, and particularly Black Lives Matter and the conversation between the Black Church, is that the Black Church excluding certain parts of our community, in particular LGBTQ communities.
Yes.
Where Black Lives has embraced,
right,
because they are part of the community, and
right,
all members of the community should be included.
Right. And the thing we do know is that queer Black folks have always been part of the church, whether we have openly acknowledged that or not. The problem with the Black Church is we've used kind of a lot of what I consider kind of terroristic narratives framed within spirituality under the umbrella of Christendom as a way to exclude queer folks within our community, even though what we do is, to a large extent, is we kind of pimp their skills and their gifts, because they tend to be our musicians, our choir directors. Some of them are up in the pulpit, we just don't know that's who they are.
And there's a lot to unpack right there. Whoa! That was a lot to unpack.
Hey, but I'm just calling it like I see it.
You called it all the way from the academy to the pulpit to our young people, and you framed it in a way where anyone who's listening can understand it. So what's the problem with us moving forward and progressing into where we are and what the tenet of faith is about, especially Christian faith, and embracing?
So I think one of the places where we get hung up, quite frankly, within, I'm going to say Black Church, is that, okay, so now I'm going to get into sexism, okay? One of the kind of difficulties that the Black Church has always had is just patriarchy, right? And typically when you look at the demographics of a Black church, what you generally have is a Black male who's the head of a group of congregants who are like 80% female. That's problematic in and of itself, because women are, although there's an increasing number of women represented in leadership roles, that is still kind of the fundamental framework of the traditional Black church, right? But when you have young people who have gained new levels of awareness in terms of the intersections of oppression and the common elements of oppressions across identities, that model seems irrelevant. It doesn't seem contemporary because it's excluding people. It's excluding folks because patriarchy is essentially about masculinity, but it's also about a certain type of masculinity. It's about the socialization of men in a certain kind of way, right? And so what that also means is that when men are socialized in very kind of traditional ways, that means that there are other people in the community who then end up kind of in second class positions and status: women, children, and queer folks.
So earlier in the segment, you mentioned that you are a pastor of a radically inclusive congregation. And so with the critique of the contemporary Black church, some may discredit or discard or turn off their listening ear because they may feel that there's a particular perspective. So how do we expand the conversation so that we still focus in on expertise and life experience and realities of everybody that's listening, and especially from what you're sharing with us?
So I would say probably the primary thing is that usually Black folks who grow up in church tend to be under the umbrella of Christianity, okay? So I'm gonna use that framework, okay? So the primary icon and incarnation of the Christian faith is Christ, right? So Christ, and people call themselves Christians because presumably they are followers of Christ and Christ's teachings. So as a follower of Christ, Christ made two declarations that I think are pretty fundamental to the way that we kind of frame who we include. When there was a religious scholar who asked Christ, what are the two greatest commands? Christ said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, might, and soul.
And the second.
And he said the second command, right? And he said is similar and equal in importance, and it is to love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Then he said, all of the laws and the prophets rest on these two commands, mm-hmm. right?
You can stop right there.
Right, exactly.
The black church will say that a preach.
Right, exactly. Right. And so that pretty much sums up our edict. Our call is to love mm-hmm. God, and to allow the power of God's love to permeate our beings to the extent that that love is extended in a way that's beyond the scope of who we imagine as our neighbor. Because when Jesus taught that, used the parable of the Good Samaritan to teach us who right. our neighbor was, right? It was not who people imagined our neighbor
right.
was, right? Because the Good Samaritan was despised by good religious folks.
Right.
But in fact, he turned out to be the good neighbor, right? So Jesus was pretty revolutionary, even in the way that he unpacked spirituality. And we got to remember, Jesus wasn't a Christian, he was a Jew. There was no such thing as Christianity, right, when Jesus came on the scene. Christians were the followers of Jesus, who was a Jew. So Jesus was unpacking, to a large extent, Judaism, which became a radical movement that evolved into what we know as Christianity.
Again, we're here at Texas State with the Social Justice Speaker Series. Could you tell us why Opal Tamonte now for this series?
Sure. For one thing, it's important for our students to be aware of all of the issues in a contemporary society. That's really important for them to understand all of the issues and all sides of the issues. Black Lives Matter is a now movement. It's occurring right now within this generation. It's being fueled by this generation. So it's incumbent upon us as an institution to ensure that our students have the most accurate, up-to-date information about any aspect that will eventually be the kind of unfolding of history, and to a large extent. And so by bringing her here, it gives our students an opportunity to hear from one of the architects and founders of this movement what this movement is really about, rather than just trying to understand it through sound bites and clips in the media, which are sometimes not always accurate, but don't always give the full breadth and scope of what an idea or an ideology is all about. So this is an effort for us to ensure that our students have the best information, that they are the most informed, and that they're hearing it directly from someone who founded this movement and who continues to be an architect of this movement and continues to move this forward.
Is there anything that I haven't asked you that you want to make sure that you share before we close out?
No, I think we've covered it all.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right.
What song would you suggest accompanying our interview?
There is a song called My Everything, and it was written by a student on this campus. I listen to that song every single day.
My Everything.
My Everything. Yep. Yep. My
Thank
Everything.
Thank you so much. You are
yes.
in the clear.
Okay.
Say, Master!
Master!
please bow your head. He's here. Bow before the King. Bow before the King.
So I wanted to do this in full disclosure for you and our listening audience. I believe that this was a really good dialogue, and it's a conversation starter. We opened with the purpose of the show being to bridge gaps, make bridges between generations, and we framed it with Black Lives Matter and the contemporary Black church. Knowing what the conversation was, because conducting an interview with Dr. Ben and being at the social justice speaker series, some of the things that came out during the interview, it actually challenged how I approach my faith and my relationship with Christ and how I study to show myself approved and me rightly dividing the word of God. And even the scripture or the passage that she shared as our neighbors and the commandment of loving God and then following with loving your neighbor as yourself, that continues to be the focus of, well, how do you do that? How do you continue with that relationship, that vertical relationship and then the horizontal relationship with people? And so this wasn't easy for me to do, this interview. But knowing that it's greater than us, how do we interact and connect with people? Not judging them, because the judgment's already done, but how do we connect? How do we show love and not just say we love?
That's true. And basically, my understanding again is that in order to love God, you have to love your fellow man and woman. So as humans, we do love each other. And if we are going to go according to what we believe, I don't even know fully what your beliefs are as you study the word, but the foundation that I have is to love one another. How can you love God whom you have not seen and hate your brother who you see from day to day? Now, things that are conflicting with what God says, well, this is this, you should not do this, thou shalt not, or even if it's not implicit or just said directly, you have to work out your salvation. God's word still holds true, but ultimately, God is love, but he's a very, very jealous God. That's word.
Oh, I know that, and I agree. And it's a personal relationship that we have to have with him.
Personal.
So that we can therefore be able to interact with others. And so what I want to do is make sure that we keep the conversation open, and so that we can dialogue and that we can converse and not just shut the conversation down because we disagree with each other.
Wow. I don't know if we're quite in the clear on this one.
We're not in the clear yet.
But we thank you for tuning in to another edition of In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio. I'm Willie Anderson.
And I'm the good brother, Dr. Oliver.
Until next time.